Welcome to the 7 on Your Side Consumer Podcast, brought to you by ABC7's Michael Finney.
Hello, everyone. I am Michael Finney, and this is the weekly consumer podcast for 7 on Your Side and ABC7 News. Thanks a lot for downloading. Let's begin in Washington. The Commerce Department says sales of new homes rose in July, 2.4% increase. However, that still left sales below what analysts expected. Compared to a year earlier, July new home sales are down 35%. We've been seeing a lot lately where we've been getting a jump in home sales. And let me tell you what these are. These are the homes, by and large, that are on, or I should say, offering a huge discount. Either they've been foreclosed upon, they're a short sale, or it's an owner who needs to get out of town. But the deals are there if you go looking, and consumers are picking up on them. Most homes that are trying to sell at full retail, those owners are having a very tough time. Do you remember a few months back I told you about the concern over some Colgate toothpaste that may be counterfeit? It was all over the internet, and we found some tubes right here in the Bay Area. Found them at a little store in San Francisco. And we talked to Colgate, and they sent out investigators, and they could only find one other tube of toothpaste, although they knew there was this counterfeit Colgate toothpaste floating around. Well, two individuals have been arrested. They pled guilty to trafficking in more than a half million tubes of counterfeit toothpaste. Here's the deal. If you're using any product and it doesn't taste or look the way you remember it, and if the tube, if it's toothpaste or packaging on any other product doesn't look right, be very, very careful. There are counterfeiters all over the world that are willing to put you and your family in danger. And as a matter of fact, this toothpaste had antifreeze in it. That's a poison. But it also tastes sweet, so it could fake you out. Anyway, be very, very careful. It's amazing this is going on and that there's money in counterfeiting toothpaste, but there is. So any consumer products, make sure you look at the packaging and the product itself looks and tastes the way it should. A fortune-telling scam. This is out of San Jose. A 56-year-old woman pled guilty in Santa Clara Superior Court to charges that she scammed a woman out of almost a half million dollars. And how did she do it? Well, she told the woman, the victim, that she was cursed and getting rid of the money would cleanse the evil. This is not a new scam. This has been going on for decades, maybe even hundreds of years. It's generally known as a fortune teller scam. It is not always a fortune teller involved, but it is fairly common. If you have relatives that could be taken in by one of these people, you need to keep track of their money. You need to talk to them about where their money is going. It's nice to see one of these at least taken off the street. Now, here is a scam. It's actually a very, very old scam that has been rewrapped and sent back out into the marketplace in Spanish. It's the envelope stuffing scheme. It's been in the English language community forever. I know it's been all over Europe, and now it is hitting the Spanish-speaking community here in the United States. It's a growing community, so the bad guys have figured it out, and they are targeting those folks. Look, you're not going to make money stuffing envelopes. And although many of the schemes work differently, the major one is you send me $20 and I'll tell you how to make money stuffing envelopes. And then I send you back a letter saying, put an ad like this, like I did in the newspaper, that says you'll make money stuffing envelopes. And then people will send you $20 and then you send them a copy of this. What a scam. Anyway, be on the lookout for this. And by the way, it rolls out in every language occasionally anyway. So it'll be back in English. You'll see it around. Privacy rights activists have scored a major victory in Sacramento this week. There was a proposal working its way through the legislature that would have allowed insurance companies to keep closer track of your driving habits. And by closer track, I mean, this is unbelievable. They would have been able to know how fast you go, where you go, when you go, how fast you stop, how fast you start, black box technology that could have been installed in your car, and then you would be billed accordingly for your automotive insurance. Well, the privacy concerns are great. You can see this. Many of those that wanted this say that they wanted it just to know how many miles you were driving. Because if they knew how many miles, then they could charge pay-as-you-go, which is becoming a common way to buy insurance. A privacy advocate said, we're fine with pay-as-you-go, but why don't you just look at the odometer? And so eventually, that kind of thinking won the day. The insurance commissioner says he's going to allow pay-as-you-go. So, in about a year's time, it appears as if your insurance rates are going to be based first on your driving history. How long have you been driving, and how long have you been driving well or not so well? And secondly, how many miles do you drive? The more miles you drive, the more likely you are to be in an accident. That's the thinking. That's what we're probably going to end up with, but at least you're not going to end up with little brother driving around in your car, going everywhere you're going, when you're going, and blabbing about how you drive. Southwest Airlines, they had resisted the kind of cuts to its schedule that most other carriers had been making. Well, that's ending. Southwest says it will eliminate about 200 flights. That's supposed to take place early 2009, and that's about a 6% cut. That means, come on, every time Southwest goes into an airport, the cost of flying out of that airport goes down on the same routes as Southwest flies. Well, if they're not flying out of that airport, prices are going to creep back up. This is not a good thing for consumers. And here is an interesting economic figure. In tough economic times, men are traditionally the first to cut back on buying clothes. But there's been a major shift. Over the past year, men, and it's believed it's because of the new slim-down skinny suits, well, they've been on a buying spree. They've been buying more while women have been buying less. Menswear sales rose just under 1% over the year, fiscal year that ended in May, whereas women's clothes fell 3.5%. Now, what does this mean to the clothing market? Well, look, the women's fashions account for 65% of the adult clothing market. So not a whole lot is being affected, but it's still interesting. It shows you we do indeed live in a changing world. Finney's Friday Free Stuff. Let's finish up with that. We have got some tickets to the Lawrence Hall of Science. You have got to check this place out. Get in on those tickets. And also, we have some wellness bars we're giving away. You should get in on those, too. To get both of them, you go to abc7news.com. Now, my reports air every weekday here on ABC7 News on 5 and 6 o'clock. And View from the Bay, which is a fabulous program, is on every day, Monday through Friday, beginning at 3 o'clock. I'm on that show every Monday and Friday. Not the three middle days, but you should still watch those days. Well, that's it for this week's podcast. I'm Michael Finney. Thanks a lot for downloading.
For more on Michael Finney's reports or to report a consumer problem, go to abc7news.com and select 7 on your side from the quick links menu. Thank you for downloading Michael's podcast.